thankful, amen, for that good spirit of worship on that song. You know, the church been singing that song, listening to that song, worshiping over that song, amen, for years and years and years, and it just don't ever grow old. And I'm thankful for it. You know why? Because what it's singing about is just fresh and new every day in the heart and life of the child of God. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 3 tonight. Nehemiah chapter 3. And let's look in the Word of God here for just a moment. And we'll see what the Lord will do for us. Pray for us. Pray for our voice. And God will touch us tonight and help us preach. Nehemiah chapter 3. And if you stand with me, if you're willing and able, as Brother Pace would say, if you're willing and able, Nehemiah 3, I'm just going to read a verse and a half. Is that all right? One whole verse and a half of another one. And that'll give us all we can cover this evening in our time together. Verse number 28, Nehemiah 3, verse number 28. From above the horse gate repaired the priests, everyone over against his house. After them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. And we'll leave off our reading there. You can be seated, and let's pray together if the Lord, amen, will so choose. We need him to touch us tonight. You pray in that regard, all right? Heavenly Father, we're thankful this evening for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you tonight, Lord, that you're in charge and in control. And Lord, in a world gone mad and going crazy, Lord, seems like more chaotic day by day. We're thankful, Lord, we know the one in whom we have confidence never changes. The Lord, there's nothing that you can't do. And so I pray this evening that you'd help us, Lord, in this service tonight. And Lord, the subject matter that you'd have, would you, Lord, give us strength to preach it? Lord, give us the courage and compassion, Lord, that we need to be a help to the people of God. I ask you, dear Father, tonight that, Lord, your very perfect will and your very perfect word, Lord, would shine through as a light in a dark world, Lord, to the hearts and lives of our church family and those that are listening, Lord, through other means tonight. Lord, I pray more than anything, may the Lord Jesus be magnified. Lord, may what we have in him, Lord, be an encouragement. May it be a lifeline, Lord, to somebody this evening. And Lord, all that you do, Lord, we'll thank you and bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Ain't you glad you saved tonight? Amen. 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 I want to continue our series of studies that we've been doing on the 10 gates found in Nehemiah chapter number 3 and the rebuilding and the repairing of the wall of Jerusalem. We've been entitling this series of thoughts as the gateways to the presence of God. There are 10 gates that are mentioned, each giving access into the holy city of God where the presence of the Lord had been promised that he would dwell from generation to generation. The people of God had gotten themselves in trouble and in a mess because of sin. They'd been led away into captivity. The enemy, having come against them, has destroyed this holy city of God. God, after some time, has raised up a generation that is hungry and is ready to be able to go back into the presence of God again to repair that had been torn down and to enjoy the things that God had promised to their forefathers. And so Ezra, under the ministry of Ezra and Nehemiah, we find that the people of God are being led in the rebuilding of this wonderful city. We find in the gates that are mentioned in Nehemiah chapter number 3, a progression, a picture of the progression of our spiritual lives. Won't re-preach or rehash any of it, but it did begin at the sheep gate, at that gate that represents redemption by the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sacrifice and shed for our redemption. I'm thankful that I've been through the sheep gate. And so we've looked at the sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate, the dung gate, the gate of the fountain. And on the last Sunday, we preached on the seventh gate, the water gate. a water gate, and we've been dealing with what each of these represent to you and I. And we want to move on now in this verse and a half that we've read as it relates and brings us to, we come to gate number 8. And in our text, it is known as the horse gate. The horse gate. This gate is the first of those that is on the east wall of the city of Jerusalem. You remember when we preached on last week, we drew your attention to the phrase about the water gate, a picture and type of the Word of God and its ministry in our life. It is cleansing us. It is working in our life. It is active. It is the still water by which the shepherd of our soul leads us in setting a direction for our life. And the Bible said of the water gate that it was toward the east. I found it interesting to note about this matter of the horse gate. First of all, that as it follows the water gate, which is said to be toward the east, and now we are on the east. You see, it's the Word of God, and it is the ministry of the Word of God. What it does, it will always turn our direction. If you ever get a hold of the Word of God and let it minister to your heart and to your life, you'll turn the corner again. And thank God your life will be set in an eastward direction. And so we come tonight to the horse gate, that first gate on the east side. When we think about this tonight, I want to draw out a negative first, and then I'll preach positive, and then I'll come back to the negative, and it'll make it all positive in the end. I don't know how all that's going to work, but you just stay with me. I find it very, very interesting tonight. When we come to this gate, there's something that jumps off the page, amen, to us that study the Bible and are familiar with the Bible, amen, when we just read the name that is attached to this particular gate. It is called again the horse gate. You said, preacher, what is so interesting about the name, the horse gate? Well, it's interesting to me because horses were cautioned and even forbidden to be multiplied in Israel by their kings. If you look back with me, hold your place in Nehemiah chapter number 3. Look back in the book of Deuteronomy and Deuteronomy chapter number 17. In Deuteronomy 17, the Lord gives some insight that He knows what is coming down the road in the nation of Israel. And when they get in the land of Canaan, eventually they're going to want to make themselves a king. It was never really truly the heart of God and the desire of God that they would be governed and ruled by a king, but God knew their fleshly nature, that they were going to want to be like the other nations that were around them. So God, knowing the direction that they were going to go, we find that God set some parameters for the day in which this would begin to take place. And Deuteronomy 17, and in verse number 14, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. And so if that's what you really want, you got to let God choose the one that's going to rule you. And He says here, one from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not, listen now, he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. And he'll go on and give some other instructions concerning some cautions and forbiddings that are placed in the life of the man who would eventually rule over them. I find it interesting that the second of these cautions is that he's not to be a man that is given to the multiplication of horses. And God was very clear about that, going to Egypt, obtaining horses, and putting their confidence in horses as their military might and strength. rather than trusting God in the day of battle. And so there is a caution and a forbidding, a commandment, if you will, against such activity. And what's interesting to me, God said that, and along comes the scene of a man by the name of David, Israel's greatest king, a man anointed by God, a man after God's own heart. And we'll not take the time to look at it. I'll give you the reference. You can, amen, look at it later. But in 2 Samuel chapter number 8 and in verse number 4, David is in military campaigns. He's receiving victory upon victory. And when he comes to Moab and defeats them, he takes from them horses and he hews several of them, 1,000 of them or so, and he had them exterminated, but he kept 100 chariots, amen, implying that he had horses that my friend would be used to haul them chariots. What good's a chariot if you ain't got horses? And so David began by a small measure to bring and introduce horses into the nation of Israel against something that God had cautioned and forbidden the king to do. And you come, we leave the ministry of David and come to the days of his son Solomon, a man that was wise and a man that, amen, God had blessed greatly in his reign and in his kingdom. And Solomon not only took a few horses as his father David did, but Solomon multiplied horses in his kingdom. You'll read about the beginning of this in 1 Kings 10, verse 26 through 28. Amen, where he begins to multiply. And in other texts and other passages, the word of God is clear. Now listen what I'm getting ready to tell you now. Amen, David took 100 chariots. I don't know how many horses he had. Amen, but several horses per chariot in the days of Solomon. Amen. At his all-time peak, Solomon had 40,000 horse stables. Amen. And he housed tens of thousands of horses. He had 12,000 chariots. Amen. It was a massive operation going on in the days of Solomon as he had violated the commandment that God had given. I will show you one verse tonight if you'll look with me in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter number 2, and I'll give you the verse in just a moment. Amen. Deuteronomy 17, God forbid horses. David took a few. He didn't take many. There wasn't a multiplication. Amen. There's just a few that he's going to use in his military. But Solomon, amen, took it into a whole nother, amen, dimension and multiplied many, many, many times over, amen, a violation of what God had said about horses. And we move to the days of Isaiah, many, many years removed from even Solomon. And look with me in Isaiah 2 and in verse number 7 is Isaiah describes the condition of the land of Israel. He said, their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Notice what he said, their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. And so we move from the days of Moses where God gave the command, the days of David, few were taken. The days of Solomon, there's a multiplying, to the days of Isaiah, where Isaiah said, Lord, they have filled the land with something that you said not to multiply and bring into the land. And there were horses evidently in the days of Isaiah everywhere. And Isaiah knew that that was a violation, amen, of something that God had forbidden. And so in this matter of the horse gate, we find a dedicated gate to that which God had forbidden. And I make this statement here for just a moment or just in passing. Amen. And I'll bring you back to this thought that we're laying out in the end of the message. Amen. But I find it interesting, amen, in making that little study with you tonight. Amen. We better be careful what we allow in small measure, amen, in violating the Word of God, lest we wind up, amen, full of something in our life, amen, that God has forbidden. Amen. You say, preacher, it ain't that big of a deal. Amen. It's just a few little things I'm allowing. Amen. That probably was the mindset of David. I'm not multiplying anything. It ain't out of hand. I've got a hold on it. I won't let it be any more than what it is. Amen. But eventually Israel was full of that. And God said it didn't want in the land. Amen. And I'm telling you, I'm a watching folk in this hour and this day. Amen. They're playing around with little things that, amen, are going to multiply in their life until they look around. Amen. And our entire life, amen, entire church, entire family will be eat up with things that God said no to. Amen. Ain't that good preaching tonight? Amen. You say, preacher, that's negative. Amen. That's negative. How in the world is this horse gang going to be a help to us tonight? Amen. Will you just kind of table that thought there that I just give you, and I'll come back to it in just a little while. I mean, look at this matter, and let me say it this way, that in spite of this failure of bringing, introducing, multiplying, and then a fullness of horses in the land, I believe there is a positive truth that the horse game portrays to you and I this evening. You see, horses were, they were wartime beasts. Amen. They were large beasts that portray to you and I their association with wartime and battle and strife and fighting. They portray to you and I the believer's warfare. Amen. In fact, that is what the Lord was concerned with, even in the forbidding of bringing the horses in the land. Gerald, he was concerned that they would begin to trust in them horses more than they were willing to trust God. Because the horse was a beast that, amen, was used successfully in wartime. And so we find here a portrayal of the believer's warfare. You do understand that we're believers tonight, and as children of God, amen, we have been saved, and thank God we've been saved. And thank God in this message, I guess now that I'm into it, amen, kind of is the flip side of the coin of what we preached this morning. And in the Lord Jesus, there is rest. Amen, there is rest in Him. Thank God there's rest. Amen, but there is also a battle that we're engaged in as the children of God. Amen. We've been shamed and called to endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen. Paul would write in Ephesians 6, one of the most familiar texts on spiritual warfare, and we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, understanding we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the enemies and the foes that have set themselves against us. In that text, Paul said, makes sure you've got on the whole armor of God. Amen. So that when the war is raging in the heat, the hottest part of the battle, amen, that you will be able to stand and withstand the wiles of the devil. I believe in the horse gate there is a wonderful picture, amen, of the believer's warfare. Let me give you some verses about horses, amen, that I think maybe could apply tonight. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Look with me in Proverbs chapter number 21. In Proverbs chapter number 21, listen to what, amen, the Word of God has to say. Proverbs 21, verse number 31. The Bible said, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. Amen. This wartime beast. Amen. And there is a preparation that goes on. Amen. And they, amen, they would breed those horses and, amen, breed them to be as big and as strong and as swift as they could be. And when they were born, they would begin their training and they would prepare them the best they could, amen, against the day of battle, amen. And so we find here the association they have, amen, to the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Amen. Ultimately, what Solomon is saying, amen, a horse is a tool prepared for the battle. Amen. But it's God that must give the victory. And may I say tonight, amen, as believers and as children of God, amen, there are spiritual battles. There are days of battle, amen, that God prepares our life for. He's training us. He is working in our life. Amen. He knows what's coming on tomorrow. And my friend, He knows those situations that arise against us. And may God help us to be, amen, be, my friend, mighty and prepared against the day of battle. Amen. And so we find a preparation. Amen. A preparation against the day of battle. Amen. Look with me in Job chapter number 39. And listen to what the Lord is going to give to good old brother Job. Amen. In the end of this wonderful story in Job 39 in verse number 19. Amen. Here's what the Lord said and questioned Job on. He said, "Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? A glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth," listen to this, "he paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted, neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, and the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage, neither believeth that he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha," he's laughing at the sound of battle, amen, "ha ha, and he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting." And so the picture that the Lord paints to Job and this horse, he is filled with and magnifies, amen, the strength and the courage and resolve of the horse in the day of battle. He's not shying away from the fight. He's not fearful of the sound of battle. Amen. He's laughing. He's pawing. His breath is getting heavier. Amen. He's prancing around. There's an excitement that is going on. Amen. For he is getting ready to enter in, amen, that for which he has been prepared for. There's no trepidation. There's no timidness. There's no, amen, there's no cowardice in the horse. Amen. God said, "Job, have you give that?" Amen. And the implication of that question is, amen, God has put that in the horse. Amen. And so, amen, I guess I'm calling y'all a bunch of horses tonight. Amen. As children of God. Amen. It is God who gives us our strength. It is God who gives us our courage. Amen. We don't get that from a man. Amen. It is God that put that in that beast. And it is God that has to put that in a believer. Amen. You take God. Amen. You take what you take out of you, what God has put in us and desires us to be tonight. Amen. We put our head in the sand. We'd crawl up in a cave. Amen. My friend, we would cower down. Amen. But that is not what God, amen, God has not given us. The Word of God said, the spirit of fear and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. We don't back down from the fight that's brought to us. Amen. We're willing to engage, amen, in contending for the faith once delivered to the saints, and to fight a good fight and to finish our course. You see that horse, amen, when the battle is raging, he ain't looking to go back to the barn. He ain't looking, my friend, to quit. Amen. He wants to be faithful and give himself the warfare and the fight that is ahead of him. Amen. Is that your spiritual? Have you got that kind of spiritual strength tonight? Amen. I'm not belittling any of us tonight. Amen. But let's be honest. Amen. Many of our days are filled with fear, and I have to be the first in line. Amen. There's days I feel myself flinching and feel that. Amen. That desire sometimes to kind of turn back a little bit. Amen. You know what we need tonight? We need a revival. Amen. Of the courage and the stamina and the conviction as God's children and say, you know what? I may not want to fight, but I ain't going back down from what. Amen. I'll make my stand and see victory brought to my life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're in a warfare tonight. Amen. When's the last spiritual battle? What's the last spiritual battle you fought faithfully? Amen. The horse gate, my friend, speaks of our spiritual warfares and victory with our enemies. Notice with me, amen, for a moment, the location of the horse gate was beside, listen now, it was beside the king's stables near the king's house. These are the king's horses. Amen. And again, we know the negative implication of that, but amen, there is a positive truth and picture that is portrayed there. You see, it was the king's house. Amen. It was the king's house where the warriors received their orders and were prepared for the upcoming battles. And they would go by the king's palace, his house. Amen. The king would give them their orders. They would mount their horse in the stable, and then they'd ride through the horse gate and enter into the battle, having received and been prepared with instruction, amen, for the upcoming battles they were facing. Amen. Oh, amen. I feel like preaching now. Amen. The believer must stay close, amen, to the king's house. Amen. You say, who's the king's house? That's the house of God. Amen. The church house. Amen. We need this, for it is there we are made ready for our battles. Amen. I'm watching folk. Amen. I won't be careful now, but I'm watching folk. Amen. That are taking very, very light the house of God in these days. Amen. It's like they're not in a battle. It's like the battle don't mean much to them tonight. Amen. Can I say, and I know I'm a preaching in the choir because all y'all that are here showed up tonight. Amen. Amen. But let's make up our mind. We need the king's house. Amen. That's where we're prepared. That's where we're given our instruction. Amen. That's where we're given the orders that we need. Amen. To be faithful in the fight. Amen. That's where we receive from our king. Amen. From the one who has called us to be soldiers. Amen. What we need to make it through the battle. Amen, amen. If you get too far from the king's house, amen, you ain't going to have much victory in the battles that come your way. Amen, I find it interesting when you study the gate. Amen, this gate that we're looking at tonight, the horse gate. Amen, that you'll find that there was a very, very important execution that took place. It was the execution of wicked Athaliah. Athaliah is the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. You'll find that her husband died in battle, and rather than letting one of his sons take the throne, the Bible said in 2 Chronicles 22, amen, that she began to kill all the royal seed. Amen, this woman was so wicked that she killed her own children and her own grandchildren. And were it not for one dear saint of God in the land of Israel, amen, the wife and the priest, amen, she snatched up one of the young men and she hid him down in the house of God. And for the time of 6 years, that young man grew, and wicked Athaliah and all her wicked deeds and her evil counsel, all her idolatry and fornication, all the sin then she promoted and grew and magnified in the land for 6 years. Amen. Israel was under the curse of God. And on year number 7 in 2 Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles chapter number 23. Amen. Let me just get ready to read it to you here in a moment. Amen. In 2 Chronicles 23, amen, we find that on year number 7, Jehoiada the high priest strengthened himself. He began to send word out through the land. Amen. There is a royal seed. Amen. There is one who is the rightful king. He begins, my friend, to strengthen the land behind the scenes. Amen. He's getting ready for war. He's getting ready for battle. Amen. And he prepares him. And the day comes, he says, amen, today's the day at the last done for. Amen. It's time to arise and allow, amen, the rightful king to have his place. And so, my friend, he divides the congregation into 3 groups. He sets a third of them on the outside of the temple to be porters and singers and keepers of the gate. He has the priests make their way in, and then the Levites are surveyed in various ways. And he said, now nobody else is coming in. Amen. But when the trumpet begins to sound, we want all of the nation to arise and begin to shout and begin to praise the King and the Lord for what God is going to do in the land. Amen. All of a sudden, revival breaks out. Amen. There's a royal scene, and there's a righteous people, amen, that give the rightful king his place, amen, upon the throne. Amen. When that happens, Athaliah gets so stirred up, she runs around. Amen. She's a screaming treason, treason. Amen. She's accusing them, amen, of stabbing her in the back. Amen. But it's too late. The king's already been crowned. Amen. The king's already been anointed. A king has already been embraced. Amen. And you'll find Jehoiada, amen, has his men lay hold on wicked Athaliah. And he said, now don't slay her here in the house of God. Amen. But you lead her out. And everybody that follows her, amen, and everybody that's on her side, amen, you slay them as you go. Amen. And buddy, when they came, the Bible said in verse number 15 of 2 Chronicles 23, and when they came to the horse gate, amen, that crowd arose with courage in their bosom. Amen. They arose with strength in their soul. Amen. And they began to draw their sword, and they slew wicked Athaliah at the horse gate. In other words, they said, we're tired of this spiritual conflict. We're tired of all the sin that you promote. We're tired of all the evil counsel you give. We're tired of the sin that you set for our lives and our nation. And man, they rose up and said, we're willing, amen, to make our stand. And it happened at the horse gate. Amen. Can I say, in this world we're living in, amen, there is a wicked spirit in the land. Amen. Our lives, and stand and arise and have courage to deal with sin in our life. Amen. I'm telling you, sin's overrun our land. Amen. It's overrun our churches. Amen. Let me preach a minute. Amen. We're living in a day where some of the mainstream religions of our day are bringing in the queer and the transgender movement. And my friend, bringing it in front of the people of God and promoting that as though, amen, you can mend. Amen. These bunch of coward preachers kowtow into, amen, a new generation and letting sin, amen, come in the church. We're not a perfect church around here. Amen. We sure got our own faults and failures. Amen. This evening, amen. In fact, we know what they are, and we try to preach against them and keep ourselves accountable and, amen, keeping the church as clean as we can. Amen. But do you know how much dope you got to smoke, amen, to bring in transgenderism in the house of God? And we ain't out to be mean, and we ain't out to be hard to deal with, but there is a way that is right, and Jesus must be Lord and King. Amen. I believe that's right. We could preach all night. Amen. On things God's people's led into their lives. Amen. Beyond the church, our personal lives. Amen. Oh, may we get sick of sin. Amen. And arise with courage in our life. Amen. And slay the sins that are bringing us down. Amen. When's the last time you had a good sin killing in your life? When's the last time you got so sick of yourself, sick of your flesh, sick of the devil, sick of the world and all it's promoting in your life, and just, my friend, lay it all out at the horse gate, sharpen and draw your sword, amen, and just slay the wicked and the evil that's in your life. Amen. You say, I ain't got no wicked or evil. Well, you're further gone. Lies. Amen. You look at all the, amen, it ain't got to be transgenderism. I hope we ain't got any of that going on around here. We'll throw you out in the highway. All in the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It could be a wicked, evil spirit we possess. It could be pride or bitterness, grudge holding. Amen. When's the last time we got sick of it and said, amen, I'm going to rise by the strength that God has given me as a child of God. Amen. I'm going to rise with the holy boldness and I'm going to deal with the issues that are in my life. Amen. That's what we learn at the horse gate in the story of wicked Athaliah. Let me give you some things out of the text this evening, y'all. Amen. Y'all understand. I'm almost done, I think. Amen. Y'all buckle your seatbelts. We'll give it to you quick as we can. Amen. I noted three truths in the text about the spiritual battles we are in as believers. Amen. Say, preacher, you can't get nothing out of a verse and a half. Amen. I didn't get one thing. I got three things. Amen. And so let me give them to you quickly. Number one, amen, in the horse gate, I see the battle for our fellowship. You say, what do you mean? Notice the verse again. From above the horse gate, repaired the priests. You say, preacher, how does that tie into our fellowship? You see, it is the priests that were involved in the repair work around this gate. Amen. It was those priests. Amen. These are those who are in constant communion with the Lord. And they're the ones that live in His presence. They're the ones that on a daily basis, amen, involve themselves in the presence of God. Amen. They're there when the presence of the Lord begins to move. Amen. They're there in the day when the cloud descends. They're there in the night when the pillar of fire burns. Amen. This is a crowd that is constantly enjoying fellowship with the Lord God of heaven. Amen. I don't think it's any accident that this is the crowd, amen, that is there in the horse gate. Amen. The place of battle, the place, amen, where we make up our mind there's some things worth fighting for. There's some things worth engaging in the war about. Amen. And can I say one of the things you're going to find as a child of God, that is a constant battle in your life that you must, amen, learn to win the victory in by the Lord Jesus Christ, is when it comes to our fellowship with God. Amen. The moment you begin to draw nigh to God and He draws nigh to you, and revival fires are burning it, and you feel, my friend, the fellowship begin to be rekindled. Ain't it amazing how all the hounds of hell begin to bark? How, my friend, our enemy begins to move it and bring distractions it, and, my friend, bring some things in our world that is designed to sever that fellowship. Amen. Can I say I've learned in the 25 years I've been saved, amen, that there is a battle for our fellowship. Amen. Ain't it amazing when you're, amen, when you're just doing something, I don't mean sinful, but something carnal, something of a temporal realm, amen, there ain't no distractions. Ain't that amazing? But the minute you sit down, read your Bible, the minute you sit down and have some quiet time with God, All of a sudden the phones are ringing. Amen. All of a sudden the youngins go to barking at each other. Amen. All of a sudden the boss is calling or an email's coming in. Amen. Or a text message ding's going off. Amen. Or a social media notification's been sent. Amen. Ain't it amazing the distractions that come when we're trying to have fellowship with God? Amen. You know what you're going to have to make up your mind about? He saved me. And when he saved me. Amen. Not only to be a king, but to be a priest unto the Lord. Amen. Serving and ministering and laboring. Amen. In fellowship with God under our high priest, the Lord Jesus. And that I'm not going to allow anything to come between that fellowship. Amen. That's good preaching tonight. Amen. The battle for our fellowship. Amen. Oh, ain't it amazing? Amen. And Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, your greatest temptation to sin will be when you are the closest to your Heavenly Father. Amen. And do we not understand what John said? And if we walk in the darkness, amen, we have no fellowship with Him. Amen. We have no fellowship. Amen. So long as the unfruitful works of darkness and sin and this world are involved in our life. Amen. If we're not willing to engage in the battle against that, we'll have no fellowship with God. Say, it's been a long time since I've had any fellowship with the Lord. It may be you need to sharpen your sword, get the horse gate, and get some strength and courage. Amen. Get some gumption about you and strengthen your guts. And say, this is something worth fighting for. Amen. 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 The battle for our fellowship. Number two, the battle for our families. The Bible said, from above the horse gate repaired the priest. Notice what the Bible said, everyone over against his house. His house. Not her house, his house. And there's something about these men that are engaged in this, and they realize, amen, that this matter, the horse gate and the strength and the courage and the warfare and the battle and the enemy coming against them that this represents, and they tap into a thought, and if we don't do this, it's going to wreck our house. Our home, our dwelling, our family is on the line. Amen. God help me get this out. Amen. I've been so burdened just today about family and this matter of, amen, our families and our children and the matter of what this represents in the horse cake. Amen. You see it's used twice in these verses. Amen. It's said over against his house. And in verse 29 of Zadok, it's said over against his house. Amen. There is a motivating factor in these men about the horse gate and repairing it and what it represents. There's a motivation in their heart about their families that have engaged them in this work. Amen. Not her house, his house. His house. Not their house, his house. These men took it as their personal responsibility to say that horse gate represents some protection we need around here. And our families live mighty, mighty close to where the enemy would love to come in and steal our strength and courage. And these men associated themselves, amen, with this place, understanding that their families were on the line, their wives were on the line, their children were on the line. Here we see the need for strong, courageous leadership in the fight for the spirituality of our families. I want to say tonight, and I know it ain't popular, and thank God we're off the radio, so if anybody gets mad, amen, it's those that's live and in person or watching the video. I believe it to be the will of God that men take the spiritual leadership of their home. The battles that we're in and the battles that are coming against our families in these days, Amen. I'm not talking about being a jerk. I'm not talking about being a bully in the home. Amen. I'm just talking about being willing to take the reins of our family. Amen. And all the junk and the garbage that's in this world. Amen. And stand as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ with a balance and a compassion and with a courage. Amen. That says, not on my watch, I'm willing. Amen. To be in a fight for my family. Amen. We need that in this day. Do you realize, especially those of us with children and then even those of y'all with grandchildren, do you realize the day in which our children are living in, there is so much that can be spiritually destructive to their life? And I don't mean to insult you youngins, but you youngins, amen, are not near smart enough to understand the battles that are out there, the things the devil and the god of this world has designed to wreck your faith in God. Amen. What does this demand? It demands some men like as they're in our text and would arise and say, I'll be willing to take it on. I'll be willing to engage in the fight. Amen. I'll be willing for the sake of my family. Amen. To stand and try to win some victories. Amen. On our behalf. Amen. Can I say, Daddy, it's high time we get out of our carnal state, our wicked way of thinking. Amen. A casual attitude about, amen, well, whatever it be, will be. And I'm just going to let whatever happens, happen. Amen. But then we would arise and draw the sword and stand and make a great, great fight for the sake of our children. Amen. Amen. Obviously, in these days, these things I'm a learned. Amen. You can't make your youngins and your family do right. You can't make them. I'll tell you what you can do. You can fight for them. Amen. You can draw your sword and say, there's some things, amen, I don't want to embarrass my family at all. Amen. We're not perfect and we ain't got everything nailed down. Amen. I had a powwow with them the other day. Said, I done made up my mind. I'm going with God. There's some things ain't coming in this home. I ain't trying to be a jerk. I'm not trying to be a big shot. I'm not trying to put burdens on my children. I tell you this, I've lived long enough to know you can't let everything that's out there into your home. Amen. I feel like preaching. I'm feeling a bold strength rise up. Amen. I'm about to turn into a horse up here. About to start pawing the ground, Gerald. We're in a mess. We're in a mess, and we got men with their heads in the ground. We've got around the church and around, amen, around, amen, the people of God, there's no ownership that this is my home, and there are men that are demanding to be respected, but they're not respected. They're not respectful. There's nothing to respect in them. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, amen, our families are worth fighting for. It's worth it, amen, to get in the work of God and say, I'm going to tap into what that represents, and by the grace of God, I'll stand with some courage in my soul. Amen. 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 I want to be friends, and I think about my children, and I think about my wife. Amen. They're some of the best friends I've got in all the world. And I'll tell you where I'm at in these days. Amen. If they don't want to be my friend, that's fine. I'm not going to sacrifice, amen, what's right for the sake of them liking me. My kids may not like me some days. I've come to terms with that. That's fine. Amen. The day will come, they'll get about 24, 25, their brain will crawl back in their head, and they'll realize, like I did one day, Daddy knew more about what he was talking about than I give him credit for. Amen. Somebody help me preach. There's no place for compromise. It's too important. If we're going to enjoy the presence of God, amen, ourselves and with our family, somebody has to be willing. There's got to be some daddies. There's got to be some husbands that are willing to say, it's my responsibility. Amen. His house. His house. Amen. We're living in a generation. Amen. The women are running everything. Now, I know I'm a preaching the choir. I understand. We all know this. Amen. Amen. But we better get grounded in it, because there's a culture all around us that say men are stupid and men don't know anything and men have been in charge for so long, it's time to let the women have a turn. You know how stupid you are if you believe that junk. God ain't ever called a woman to lead the home. He ain't ever called a woman to lead the church. He ain't ever called a woman to call the shots. Amen. God expects men to be godly and men to be strong leaders and men to have their nose in the book. Amen. And make a stand and say, amen, ask for me and my house will serve the Lord. Don't matter what anybody else chooses. It don't matter how many other people fall. Amen. There's just some ground we're not willing to give up. Amen. Say amen. 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 You say, what'd you eat? Miss Kate made me roast today. I don't know what seasoning she used, but it's feeling good right now. Amen. Family is too important. Amen. We're living in a day where the family has been degraded to nearly nothing. Amen. God help us. You do realize the enemy wants your family. What are we going to do about it? Amen. I tell you what, I've made up my mind. I'm going with God. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be on my knees praying. I'm going to be seeking the touch and the strength and the courage that only God can give to make the right stand in the right way, in the right spirit that God is looking for out of me to make for the sake of my family. Amen. Amen. Battle for our fellowship, the battle for our families. Can y'all handle another? Amen. You said it was going to be negative and then positive, but preacher, you went negative and you went negative. How many of y'all know two negatives make a what? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there's the battle for our furtherance. I had these first two points, and being the good Baptist preacher I am, I knew I needed to have a third point to have a real sermon. God give me one. It ain't got to be that way, but God did give me one. Look in verse number 29. The Bible said, and after, amen, let me get it right. After them. There's a group in verse 28 of priests. The Bible said, after them. They're doing a work. They're priests. They're spiritual. They're fellowshipping with God. They seem to be way out in front and in higher elevation and position than this man we're about ready to study. But this man, he is coming after them. Amen. I call this the battle for our furtherance. He may not have had the same position they had. I don't know. I don't know what his job was, what he did in life. I don't know what he owned. But I know this. He involved himself at the horse gate after them. After them, in connection to the repair work here of Zadok around the horse gate, this implies that he may have been lagging behind them for whatever reason, but yet he himself is making progress. Everybody, does that make sense? He's after them, he's lagging behind, but you know what he's doing? He is making progress. He is being furthered along. Can I say, when it comes to our spiritual growth and our spiritual success and our spiritual victory, I'm glad that God in the battle for our furtherance can bring us along. You may not be a preacher. You may not have any kind of position of limelight or recognition. It is the will of God that you be furthered in your spiritual walk with Him. Amen. Notice something here. His name is Zadok. You know what the name Zadok means? Literally, it means just. Just. It means just, Bobby. It means to be or do what is morally right. Amen. He's the son of a man by the name of Immer. You know what Immer's name means? Oh, y'all gonna love this. I about had a spell when God gave this to me. You know what Immer's name means? Y'all ready for this? It means talkative. Always running his gums. Amen. How many of y'all have ever met that crowd? They talk about what they're going to do. They talk about what they're going to be. They talk about what they used to do or used to be. But they ain't living up to all the talky-talky. Amen. You know what Zadok is? He's just. He got beyond just talking about what he's going to do and be and become. And he just started doing what was right.
Amen.
Yes, by doing right every day, he made a little bit of progress every day. You see, what we say is not nearly as important as how we let God lead our life further into spiritual growth. Amen. Boy, if we could be, I'll put myself in that number now. I'm not just preaching down to you. Brother A.L., if I could be a third or a thimbleful of the Christian, I try to talk like I am to everybody else, I'd be somebody. So I got it nailed down. Will you pray for me? I don't want to just be a Christian that's talking and not gaining any ground.
Amen.
And be somebody that is winning the battle for my furtherance. Just, how do you do that, preacher? You just get up every day of your life and just keep doing what you know to be right.
Amen.
Can I give you a little principle here? Y'all remember how I started the message? Amen. An hour ago. Talk about the negative side. God said, no horses. No one, no horses. Don't go to Egypt and get any horses. David got him a few. Solomon got him a bunch. And in Isaiah's day, it's full of horses. And Isaiah's saying, Lord, just wipe them out and judge them for it. And God did. God sent judgment. That's why they've been in Babylonian captivity so long. And the city's in wreck and ruin and they're having to build it back. They violated some things, some failures God had seen them make, and they paid the price for it. Can I show you a verse? I'm talking about the battle for our furtherance now. Amen. Look with me in the book of Jeremiah. Everybody still with me? I know it's long, but we're about done. We're just about done. Jeremiah 31. Let me pick up in verse number 38. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner. The measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Garib, and shall compass about to Goath. Notice verse number 40, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes in all the fields under the brook of Kidron, under the corner of the horse gate, toward the east, notice this next phrase, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. Sometimes we make failures that hinder us from being able to move forward. Be furthered. How many of y'all have reaped what you've sown some days and feel the sting and feel the regret and you go, man, I wish I'd go back and do that over again. And you just kind of live with that in your days. Amen. Well, that's a few of us. But Jerry, God said, that was a failure in your life, a violation of what I commanded you. He said, I'm going to come and redeem that.
Thank God.
And I'm going to make that was a sin, I'm going to redeem that and make it holy in your life again. And he said, when I get done, you're not going to be troubled about that anymore. It'll not be plucked up and thrown down anymore forever. You may have failed, and there are days we all fail. Can I say that if you're going to win the battle for furtherance, you must depend upon the grace of God to heal what you have allowed to hinder you. And if you'll do that, God can do some amazing things in your life. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm on the winning side tonight. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Well, that's the horse gate. And I hope that made sense. I've enjoyed preaching it. Amen. I need it. You say, I don't need none of that. Well, I did. So, amen. It's helped me this evening. I hope that it's helped you.